Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And let's finish together on verse 14 together. Ready? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you this morning for the 25 or so that walk these aisles trusting you as Christ. The dozens and dozens and dozens of others that were saved throughout the week in our community. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've seemed to smile upon our church. Yes, we believe you were pleased today to be here. But Lord, as we learned this morning, we're sinful, and we need you even more. Holy Spirit of God, please use our preacher tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'll ask that the interruptions in our service be minimal. So if you'll not talk or play and will only leave the service in the case of an emergency, I would truly appreciate it. The Bible says here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse number 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible teaches when you trust Christ as Savior, the person of the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within you, and he is sealed in you. At that time, you get all of him, but it is our job then to submit to him so he can get all of us. In Bethlehem, over 2,000 years ago, a child was born. That child was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. He gave himself to helping others. When he saw the hungry people, he fed them. When he saw the sad people, he cheered them. When he saw discouraged people, he encouraged them. When he saw weary people, he strengthened them. When he saw needy people, he blessed them. When he saw bereaved people, he comforted them. When he noticed frustrated people, he calmed them. This child was the Son of God. This child was Jesus Christ. This child was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he obeyed the Word of God perfectly in his earthly time and his earthly ministry. His treatment of people was exactly what God wanted it to be. When people hated him, he loved them. When people cursed him, he was kind to them. When people crucified him, he spake not a word. When people despitefully used him, he did not become a betrayer of those men. When people lied about him, he did not seek revenge. When people attacked him, he did not retaliate. When people hurt him, he kept a good attitude. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing those that were oppressed. Here the Bible says Jesus went about doing good. How in the world did he exercise such control of body? How in the world did he exercise such control of his words? How in the world did he exercise such control of spirit and attitude? How did he do that? You see, he was both God and man. He was as much man as I am man, but as much God as God was God. You say, preacher, explain that to me. I can't, and neither could anybody else. That's the greatness of our God. He was the God-man, the man-God. He had available available to him all the emotions or characteristics that any other human being had. But I submit to you that he showed such great control the same way that he recommends to us that we achieve control in this life. He was controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. He was submitted to the same Holy Spirit that indwells and lives within you and I. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We are to be like him. We are to represent him here on this earth. We are obligated to be Christ-like. We are to be here and have a ministry in Christ's stead. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are to have his mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are to do his work. The Bible says in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We are to attempt to live in his likeness. Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We are to demonstrate the same control of our mouths, our hearts, our minds, and our bodies that he did. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We are to love the way he loved. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're to follow his example of a controlled attitude, a controlled spirit, and a controlled life. He said in John 13:15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. However, then, he accomplished this great work, he expects us to do the same. And let me explain. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ and you say, what control? Well, what an example. How did he do that? He did it the same way that you and I are going to need to do it. He submitted himself to the Spirit of God. Jesus did all of his great works as a result of his submission to the Spirit of God. We too, as Christians, have the Spirit of God. We too, as born-again Christians, have the Holy Spirit of God living within us. We have the Holy Spirit's availability and access. We are to be controlled by the same Holy Spirit in the same full way as Jesus Christ was. Please stay with me. Let me say this, first of all. Jesus, our example, was controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. This control of the Holy Spirit produced his good works. If you and I are going to do what we're to do while we live this life, if we're going to go about doing the good works that God has ordained us to do, we've got to do it by being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. See, we're going to miss some of the good works we're supposed to do if we do just that which we feel like doing. We're to do what the Holy Spirit feels like our doing. Let me say, Luke 4:1 it says, and Jesus, being filled full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What's happening? Well, his spirit control brought him through the times of temptation. This control made him strong when others would have been weak. Let me tell you, my friend, if you are finding yourself weak in the moments of temptation, there is a weakness in regard to your submission to the Holy Spirit of God, which lives within you. If you'll let the Spirit of God control you, you won't find yourself stumbling as often in your Christian life. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This Holy Spirit that controlled Jesus is available to us. Here, the Old Testament scripture refers to Jesus Christ. Here it says, this Holy Spirit control could produce wisdom in his life. Here it says, this Holy Spirit control produced understanding in his life. Here it says, Holy Spirit control produced counsel in his life. Here the Bible says, Holy Spirit control produced might in his life. Here it says, Holy Spirit control produced knowledge in his life. Here it says, Holy Spirit control produces proper fear of God in the life of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus accomplished all of his accomplishments through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He is our example. Secondly, we're to follow his example of being controlled by the Spirit of God. You and I are to follow that example. Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here, God commands you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember, when you got saved, you got all of him. But the problem is, he does not have all of you. You are commanded to submit every area of your life to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says here, be filled. Not just influenced, but filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to make sure it's understood tonight. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit of God's not just for the healers, feelers, and squealers. The Holy Spirit of God was around in the New Testament Church of Jerusalem long before other people took it and began to corrupt it. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my Spirit. There's a misconception among religious people today. They seem to think that the fullness of the Spirit of God is only for the preacher, and indeed it is, but it's not just for the preacher, it's also for the pew. It's not just for the pulpit, it's also for the pew. There are those that think that only the evangelist is to be filled with the Spirit of God. I've got news for you. Every born-again Christian is to be filled with the Spirit of God. We get this idea that only the missionary is to have the power of God upon their life. Hey, we're all missionaries to a lost and dying world. Every one of us are called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, the fullness of the Spirit of God is for all Christians. Here, he said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That includes every one of us that are born again. He said, on sons, that's all men. On daughters, that's all women. He said, on the old. And listen to me. It doesn't matter to me if you're 6 or 60 or 666. If you're a born-again Christian, you're to be filled with the Spirit of God. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. In Judges chapter 14, verse number 6, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 6, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon King Saul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, 13, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. In Acts 9, 17, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon the Apostle Paul. It says in Luke 3, 16, be endued with, it says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. In Luke 24, 29, it says, be endued with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1 verse number 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. In Psalm 92 verse number 10, it says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That fresh oil represents a fresh anointing of God's Spirit upon our lives. Not old oil, fresh oil. Somebody here tonight needs to freshen your commitment to the Holy Spirit of God. You've fallen into the trap of doing the work of God in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. You have let yourself, you've let your guard down. You've forgotten that living inside you is the Almighty Godhead, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, I'll tell you why there's confusion in your life. I'll tell you why things are not what they ought to be. You have forgotten that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside your body, and he should control you all day long, every day, every step, every word, every thought. He was given to control you. I say to you, number one, Jesus, our example, was controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I say, number two, we are to follow his example of being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, we must then ask for the Holy Spirit's control in our lives. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? My granddaughter Alexandra, her and her grandma had been talking. And Alexandra had seen my fishing pole and knew that me and her daddy had been going fishing a little bit. And grandma put Alex up to asking grandpa for a fishing pole. Grandma coached her through it, and Alex came and said, Papa, I want a fishing pole. I said, you do? I said, what kind? She said, a pink one. I want one with Cinderella on it. I started shopping. I shopped. And guess what? We found one. I gave it to the other morning. She was excited. I was excited. One day this week, Alex and I are going to go drowning worms. I've got a pink fishing pole, and so does she. You know something? I wanted to give it to her. She requested it. And in my heart, I wanted so much to meet that request. And can I say to you that God longs for you to request the Holy Spirit's influence on your life? He wants you to ask him. The Bible says here, if you and I, as parents of the flesh, or if you and I, as sinful man, if we have such a great desire to meet the ultimate needs of our earthly children, don't you think the Heavenly Father is waiting for his children to request his power in their lives? He wants to be wanted, but you must ask for his power. He wants to be needed, but you must ask for his power. He wants you to often request his intervention in your life. The Holy Spirit sits on the edge of his seat, just hoping you will invite him into your daily life. He is just hoping that you will want him to get involved. He's just hoping that you'll turn to him and say, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Holy Spirit of God, take control. Holy Spirit of God, take my marriage over. Take my family over. Take me over. I just want you to have all of thee. He wants invited into your home. He wants invited to work with you. He wants invited into every conversation that you have. He wants invited to every element of what we call the entertainment of this world. The Holy Spirit, he wants to be asked to be a part. He's a bit shy. He's spooked easily, like the dove. But he comes and he says, please invite me. Please want me. Please desire me. Please, hey, let me justify. There is a lust that is okay. You ought to lust the power of God on your life. You ought to be passionate about a desire to have the Holy Spirit that lives within you, guiding you all day long. Hey, that's the safe life, Christian. Hey, that's the life that's going to produce the fruit and produce the effort and the good works that God left you behind to accomplish. Hey, listen, I said first of all, I said to you that number one, Jesus, our example, was controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I say to you number two, we are to follow his example of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. I said number three, he tells us we are to ask. Luke 11:13, he said, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hey, you got all of him. He didn't get all of you. Invite him into the rest of your life. Let me say number four. The more we let the Holy Spirit control us, the more, like Jesus, we will behave. The more we let the Holy Spirit control us, the more, like Jesus, we will behave. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You know what the word communion there means? Communication. You know what you and I are supposed to be doing all day long, every day? We're to be communicating with the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within you. You know, some of you, you have the person of the Holy Spirit of God living within you, and you never talk to them. Now, how would you feel if you walked into the church and nobody talked to you? You'd say, I feel snubbed. I feel unwanted. This is a cold place. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God feels like some of you are snubbing him. The Holy Spirit of God feels like some of you are cold toward him. Some of you, he feels rejected. You say, I'm not trying to. Then you're to commune with him. You see, we are to have communion and fellowship with the Spirit of God. And the more we let the Holy Spirit control us, the more like Jesus we will behave. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. You see, if we submit to him one day a week, he will then control us one day a week. If you'll submit to him 2 days a week, he will control you 2 days a week. If you will submit to him 3 days a week, he'll control you 3 days a week. If you'll ask him, he'll control you 4 days a week. If you'll ask him, he'll control you 5 days a week. If you'll ask him, he'll control you 6 days a week. If you'll ask him, he'll control you 7 days a week. There are times when God comes in our church services and you say, oh my, you can tell God's here. God's doing something. May I tell you something, my friend? God is available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You can feel the presence of God working in your life. God leading you and guiding you and giving you instruction in life. Don't ignore him. Ask him for his help. If you'll submit to the Holy Spirit of God 1 hour a day, he'll control you that hour. If you'll submit to him 2 hours a day, he'll control you for those 2 hours. If you'll submit to him 3 hours a day, he'll control you for those 3 hours. 4 hours a day, he'll control 4 hours. 5 hours a day, he'll control 5 hours. If you'll submit to him 24 hours a day, he will control you and guide you and direct you and give you the fulfillment that you so desire in your Christian life. You see, we'll behave properly toward each other if we'll submit to the Spirit of God. I say to you folks, we're to be submitting to him all day long. Every day. There's not a one-time filling of the Spirit of God, and that's good forever. No, it's a constant thing. You're constantly seeking him. You're constantly keeping your relationship with him in communion, where you're in subjection and submission. Remember, he's a bit like a dove. Doves are spooked easily. He wants to be wanted. He won't force himself on anybody. If you sit here tonight and say, I'm not interested in this, fine. The Holy Spirit of God may not do anything for you, but if you sit here tonight and say, this is what I want. I want God to speak to my heart. I want to feel the presence of God when I go to church. I don't want to play religion. I want God to do something with me and do something in my marriage, do something in my life, do something with my kids. God will come along and say, you want it? I got it for you. Here it is. There's something about it. But you know, we can serve God 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I said this. I said, the more we let the Holy Spirit control us, the more we'll be like Jesus. But number five, the less we let the Holy Spirit control us, the less we'll be like Jesus. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here God said, you've got to mind the things of the Spirit if you want to be spiritual. Now, what that mean? I'll simplify it. You better be thinking spiritually. You better be thinking on the Holy Spirit of God if you want the Spirit of God to be active and in control of your life. If not, if you think carnally, if you think fleshly, then you're going to behave in the flesh. If you think spiritually, then you're going to behave in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. Say, what's that mean? If you and I are to walk in the Spirit, That's not some complicated theological hidden meaning. It means this. As I walk across this platform, every step I take should be in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I want my feet to take me where you want me to take me. Lord, I want my feet to take me where you want me to take me every step I take. All day long in communion with the Holy Spirit of God, saying, God, you want me to turn right, I'll turn right. God, if you want me to turn left, I'll turn left. God, if you want me to run around the Lord's Supper table, I'll do it. God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? What steps do you want me to take? Walking in the Spirit means being aware of your need of the Holy Spirit's control all day long, every day. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. In what area of your life have you not invited him? Have you taken the Holy Spirit of God and said, you can work on me in church, but That's it. I'd be glad to have you talk to me in Sunday school, but that's it. I'd be glad for you to be with me in teen choir, but that's it. Well, I've got news for you. When you wake up tomorrow morning, the Holy Spirit of God is waiting for an invitation to walk with you all day long. He was waiting to walk with you at work. He wanted to walk with you at school. He wanted to walk with you while you went about your everyday tasks. Are you ignoring Him? You see, the less we let the Holy Spirit control us, the less we're going to behave like Jesus. As you shop, ask for His control. I'll promise you, ladies, I will promise you, you shop in the Spirit of God, and you'll find the bargains. You don't believe it? You just pray and say, Holy Spirit of God, lead me to buy what I need to buy and what's right. God is a practical God. If just some people would realize our God is not this big pie in the sky, unreachable spirit. He lives within you. He's there to help you. As you shop, ask for His control. As you do your work, and I'm talking about men, when you go to work, within yourself, pray, Holy Spirit of God, help me to do my work well. Help me not to make any mistakes. Help me not to scrap any parts. Help me to not make any accidents. You say, that'll work, brother. Yes, it will. It will work. The Godhead, the person of the Holy Spirit, lives within you. He can help you. He can guide you. He can protect you. Do you walk in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit while you're shopping. Walk in the Spirit while you're working. Walk in the Spirit. Hey, as you pick your clothes, as you go about your everyday duties, you every day say, Holy Spirit, what do you want? 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 Help me. Control me. Control me. Control me. The less you walk in the Spirit, the less you're like Jesus. The more you walk in the Spirit, the more you're like Jesus. And it should not have to be said, but let me say to everybody that have the privilege to serve on the church staff, you should not be doing the work of God in your flesh. You still need the Spirit of God. It's not all about you, it's all about God. You'll do your work better if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I don't need a staff of professionals. I need a staff of people that have spent time with God, and the power of God is on their life. You won't survive it in the flesh. It is a spiritual warfare. I watch them drop off like flies. I watch preachers and assistant pastors and teachers in Christian schools and secretaries and people that work in the church. Not all of them can make it, and I'll tell you why. They get in the flesh, and the devil tears them to shreds. If you want the protection of the God of the universe, you better submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. He'll come along and give you an energy that man knows not of. He can give you the courage to face all of hell, and you can survive in the Christian life, but you're not going to do it in the flesh. You'll have to do it in the Spirit. You want to be a has-been? You want to be one of those that you're a used-to-beer? I used to go to that church. I used to serve God. You'll be a used-to-beer if you don't walk in the Spirit. The less we let the Holy Spirit control us, the less we'll behave like Jesus. The more we let the Holy Spirit control us, the more we'll be like Jesus. I've learned this. It's in the Bible. People who are not filled with the Spirit of God cause disunity in churches, in families, in organizations. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, capital S, in the bond of peace. The Spirit of God is a unifier. It creates a bond of peace, peace among the brethren. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament Church of Jerusalem, there was a great moving of the Holy Spirit of God. We know it as the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came in a supernatural way. There was something that happened that was very, very special. But you'll find that at that time, that New Testament Church of Jerusalem, it brought forth a tremendous unity. Acts 2:46, it says, of that church, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The Holy Spirit of God was upon a church, and it was upon a church, and one of the evidences, or one of the things that was a prerequisite, was that they were in one accord. They had singleness of heart. It's pretty hard for God to move in the midst of God's people when there's disunity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. That meant what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. I'm not going to fuss and bicker and fight with you. We've got to come together. And it's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's all about God. It's all about the church. It's all about what God wants to do. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. One heart. One soul. The New Testament Church of Jerusalem had come together and they said, we want God to do something great. We want God to use us. We want the Holy Spirit of God to take over at our church. But what did it take? They became one heart. They became one soul. They had all things common. They were in one accord. They had singleness of heart. Did you know something? Did you know that people can be separated from the world and not filled with the Holy Spirit? You know, you can sit in these pews and not listen to rock and roll music, and if you're a visitor, I think rock and roll music is rotten. You can sit in these pews and not listen to rock and roll music, but it doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit of God. It means you're just separated from that music. You can dress right. That doesn't mean you're filled with the Spirit of God. You can have no Hollywood influence in your life. That doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you something that is a reflection of the Spirit of God. It's when God's people join in unity and in one accord, and they love one another. Hey, and a whole bunch of humans learn how to deal with a whole bunch of sinful humans, and they get along, and God becomes the priority, not my feelings or what I think. Let me say to you, you know, there are some people that clean themselves up pretty good, but you'll find out real quick whether they're filled with the Holy Ghost of God or not, and a lot of them will be based on, are they of one heart? So that person right there is clean. You can be clean and not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, people who are not filled with the Spirit of God will cause disunity. Let me say this, number 7. You ought to beg God to control you all day long, every day. There's a verse that we use. It's used a lot. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. If there were any one prayer you might want to pray without ceasing, it should be this. Holy Spirit of God, control me. 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 Walk every step in the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, control me at home. Daddy, Holy Spirit of God, control me as I correct my children. Holy Spirit of God, control me as I teach my children. Mama, Holy Spirit of God, control me as I teach my daughter. Holy Spirit of God, control me as I discipline my daughter. Husband, Holy Spirit of God, be in our marriage. Wife, Holy Spirit of God, control me as I submit to my husband. You want to pray something that would be very valuable to pray without ceasing. You might want to pray that you are in submission to the Holy Spirit of God so you walk in the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, Christian, all of the problems that you and I face are usually the result of walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will keep you right. Walking in the Spirit will keep you humble. Walking in the Spirit will cause you to detour certain fleshly behaviors that when you're not walking in the Spirit, you plunge into messes in life. Hey, we ought to walk in the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, control me at work. Holy Spirit of God, control me when I talk to the boss. Holy Spirit of God, control me at the lunch table. Holy Spirit of God, control me while I produce my part. Holy Spirit of God, help me when I associate with the lost employees here to do it the right way. Holy Spirit of God, control me while I'm at church. Let me tell you, everybody wants the preacher to walk with God. Everybody wants the preacher to have the power of God upon his life. Well, I've got news for you. My Bible tells me every Christian is to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I guess most some, well, churches that are worth anything, if the preacher didn't have the power of God on his life, they may say, let's get rid of him. He doesn't love God. He doesn't walk with God. Let's fire him. Well, let me rise up on behalf of all the preachers. Maybe we ought to start firing some members that walk around in the flesh and cause all sorts of problems and live in grief in the church. Maybe we ought to fire you. There are people say, I don't want to be in a church unless the Holy Ghost of God is above my preacher. Well, I'm glad for that, and I'll work at that. But let me tell you something. The old black book that I serve, and the old black book that I read, and the old black book that I preach says, you are responsible to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's not something that's just for the evangelist. It's for every born-again Christian. And don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. He was given to you to control you. Children at play. You wouldn't be fussing and fighting with your brothers and sisters if you just realized you're to behave the way the Spirit of God wants you to behave. I'll tell you this, folks. What I'm preaching is what saves my life and my ministry. I'd be one of the failure statistics. And I'm not saying I'm a success, but I'm not a negative statistic that's out of the ministry. If I did not do what I'm telling you, I couldn't take it. I must do this to keep my attitude right toward people. It's the only thing that saves me. Before I make any decision in my life or about this church, I say, Holy Spirit of God, control my mind as I make this decision. Holy Spirit of God, I can't do this on my own. I don't know what to do. I've got to have your help. Before I make any decision, I say, Holy Spirit, control me. Before I counsel anyone, just so every one of you know, your preacher, before I tell you anything, I've gone to my God and said, God, I turn my mind over to you. I cannot help this person. The fear, the thought. People come to my office and they say, preacher, I trust you. I'm going to do what you counsel me to do. And fear races through my mind. I think, oh, God, no human being can make that many right decisions. This has got to be your decision. This has got to be what you would do. And any of you that have ever counseled with me, you hear me say it every start of every counseling session. I say, Holy Spirit of God, control our minds while we have this counseling session. Before I preach any sermon, I go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, God, is this what our people need? God, I don't know. I'm a human being. How can I figure out how to meet the needs of a 1,000 people on a Sunday morning? They all have different needs at different levels, all of them. And the Holy Spirit of God can direct me and help me to preach the sermon. And it is an amazing how the Holy Spirit of God can take a sermon and dice it up in 1,000 little pieces, and everybody walks away saying, boy, I needed that. Boy, how in the world did one sermon meet 1,000 needs? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Before I preach any sermon, the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you this, before I return any phone call, I say, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Control me as I return this phone call. I don't know what's on the other end. Is it a broken heart? Is it an irate customer? Oh, God, Holy Spirit, help me as I return this phone call. As I start any ministry in this church, I say, Holy Spirit of God, give me wisdom as we start another ministry for the service of our people. Hey, as I talk back, as I just talk to people so many times, I say, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Holy Spirit of God, help me as I have this conversation. Before I face my critics, I always have to say, Holy Spirit of God, help me not to get in the flesh. Help me, Lord. Help me not to get in the flesh, Lord. Help me to deal with this in the Spirit. Help me to control my mouth. Help me to control my mind. Help me to control. Hey, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to control my anger. You see, I don't want my critics to come along and flip all the switches and to prove me that I'm in the flesh and that I'm not serving God. Why, some of you can't get along with people. Why? You're doing it in your flesh. I had a man criticize me about a year ago. He said, I'll come in and talk to you. You're always so careful with your words. He didn't understand it. He was the kind of person that if I didn't ask the Holy Spirit what to say next, he'd use every word against me. He'd say something, I'd take him in and say, Holy Spirit of God, what's the right thing to say? He'd say something else, I'd say, Holy Spirit of God, what's the right thing to say? Why? I wanted the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me remind you, you say that's good for the preacher. I'm not telling you how a preacher's supposed to live. I'm telling you how a Christian's supposed to live. Before I ever send out a letter, especially a hot letter, I say, Holy Spirit of God, should I say what's in that letter? Sometimes I sit down and write a letter because I'm upset. I never send the letter out the same day. I take a whole day to ask the Holy Spirit of God to give me wisdom as to whether the letter should be sent. You won't find one hot, nasty letter from Jeff Owens anywhere in America. They can't produce it. Why? Before I let the viciousness of an ink pen and my flesh get away from me, I took a day and said, oh God, should I say this? Is it going to help? Is it going to hurt? Before I send a letter, I say, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Before I talk to someone, Holy Spirit of God, control me. Before I discipline someone. Sometimes I'll take days. There are people that need correction. Some people get very impatient with me. Do something about it, Brother Owens. I can't right now. I've got to make sure that when I do it, I correct in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, parent. Hey, parent. You want your correction to make a spiritual impact? When was the last time you said, son, come here. Daddy's going to have to correct you. But in your heart, you know you spent time with God and you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. Or do you just grab them and do it in the flesh and make your kids angry and make your kids hate you? Walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Before you ever sing a song in this church, you ought to be walking in the Spirit. Choir members, if you sit up here and you sing in your own power, that's wrong. When you come up these stairs, you ought to be saying, Holy Spirit of God, use me, use me, use me. Every solo, every duet, every trio, somebody ought to be saying, Spirit of God, use these words. I want old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival type of music, and it's not your talent, it's Holy Ghost movement. Before I recruit leaders, I pray, say, Holy Spirit of God, help me to pick the right one. Every once in a while, I make mistakes. But I work very hard at saying, Holy Spirit of God, control my mind. Control me. Control me. Before anyone steps in my office to render their gripe. Let me tell you what I have to do. So I don't yell at you. So I don't get in flesh at you for your behavior. I go in that office when I have a counseling line. I shut the door and I say, Holy Spirit of God, please. I'm going to have about an hour of negative. Help me. Help me control me. Help me not to say something that's hurtful. Help me, Lord, control me. Before I try to fix someone who's broken, I say, Holy Spirit of God, help me. Before I deal with people, hey, listen, when you have to deal with people that walk in the flesh, you better walk in the Spirit. People with the biggest tempers sometimes are the hardest ones to deal with. You say, Holy Spirit of God, I know what they're like. I know how volatile they are. I know how you can't reason with them spiritually. Holy Spirit of God, help me. Help me now. Help me now. I've got to get through this. I don't want to have a problem here. Over and over and over again. I think the most often prayed prayer that I pray is this. Holy Spirit of God, control me. 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 I'll tell you this. And this is my last point. The biggest problems I face is when I forget to submit to Him. You look at the story of Peter, when Peter lost it on the way to the crucifixion. The Bible tells us that after Peter lost it, he then remembered what Jesus had told him. You know what we do? We lose it, we goof up, we're rude, we're crude, we're wrong, and then it comes and we say, oh, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Why did I let that happen? Here's our goal. Fix it without failure. Walk in the Spirit before you say what you say. And your failure will not have to remind you that you'd gotten in the flesh again. Most of our mishandling of people is a lack of submission to the Holy Spirit of God. It is a command of God that I be filled with His Spirit. It is a command of God that you be filled with His Spirit. Husbands and wives, you can't get along? Ask you a question. Ma'am, do you walk in the Spirit? Husband, are you walking in the Spirit? Hey, teenager, you mad at your mom and dad? Rebellious? Teenager, are you walking in the Spirit? Dad, are you walking in the Spirit? Mom, are you walking in the Spirit? Hey, Christian, are you walking in the Spirit? All day long, Holy Spirit, please control me. 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 And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed.